Yeah, what is it, noon?
12:30.
This is pretty busy for already.
So yeah, so I'm sitting here outside the Dairy Lou, free advertising for them with Sam.
Bojo, everybody.
We've been working all day. They got this cool pager system. We're waiting for our double cheeseburgers.
Yeah, I've never had this. This is at the Dairy Lou. The Dairy Lou in Ada. I like Coca-Colas, in case you want to give me free drinks for life for saying that. But it's been a big day. We're getting a lot of things done. I met a new dog today. Or I think I did. I actually met that dog before, but...
Right. Then you met the neighbor's dogs, too.
Yeah.
A lot of weenie dogs.
A lot of weenie dogs, yeah. He's living in the weenie dog district.
That is correct.
Of Ada. It's a good place to be. But it's a beautiful day in Oklahoma today, April 30th. Month's about over. I'm going to have to get me a new phone card tomorrow.
Oh, really?
So I figure we better go on and do some recording today.
Oh, we better then, yeah. Won't be able to download any of that explicit lyrics or anything like that anymore.
No.
Play on YouTube at slow speed.
Watching too much Disney Network.
Yep. It's all going to go downhill from here.
That's what gets me is that Disney.
Yeah, Disney. I still want to watch the Falcon and Winter Soldier. I haven't done it yet.
Oh, have you not? No, I figured you'd be all over that one.
I know, right?
I've about watched it all.
Have you?
Not of that. I haven't really done the Marvel comic.
I'm waiting for the Loki show to come on.
Yeah, yeah.
Loki's going to be funny.
See, I could catch up on all that. I liked the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. And I watched a couple of the other Marvel ones. The one with Kronos. What's his name? Guy with the fist diamonds.
Thanos.
Yeah, yeah.
My kids would be knocking you across your head right now if you said Kronos.
Calling him Kronos. That's who it is, isn't it?
Thanos.
Yeah, or wait, no, he was a different Greek god.
Yeah, Kronos is a different Greek god.
But weren't they both in charge of time?
Kronos is in charge of time. Thanos just has a time stone.
Oh, okay. Well.
Right, there you go. Y'all guys are learning a little Marvel history.
Mm-hmm. And Greek history.
And Greek history.
Yeah.
And we could talk, and we've been talking about CPN history. All y'all people who've been trolling each other. We've been figuring out who you are.
Right. Oh, everybody needs to just... What they need to compete about is who can treat the other with more respect and who can give more. That's what it needs to be about. Like, who can give more respect.
Right, but, you know, we're all attacking each other because we're Facebook warriors.
Right, right. We are pretty...
That's my Facebook clan. It's my dotem, you know?
That's your dotem, yeah. That's pretty good. Facebook dotem.
I'd be like, I'm part of the keyboard clan. Who are you?
Well, we are pretty good arguers, you know. I feel like over the last few years, we've developed into this ability to really argue. However, whenever we'll run to a corner, because that's the corner we like the best, we don't come out and experience the whole area. It's good to be a good debater, but you have to have good topics or good issues. Otherwise, we could just be talking about basketball.
Right. Then you I'm going to get pissed. I'm going to take my invisible ball home too. You know.
Right. Right. Take that on home. And.
But I do like about Facebook is after I piss you off, I can turn off the notifications that you're still talking. Did you?
Oh, that's true. You can.
I do that quite a bit, actually. Like, I get somebody all riled up, then I go over there and say, turn off all notifications for this post, and I just carry on.
Yeah.
Then I take a screenshot of it and usually send it to you, Sam.
Oh, yeah. I've seen a couple of those. I'm more like, if I get in one of those, I usually will just start complaining. My rants will go from about, I don't know, maybe 10 line long to about 20, and then if you're unlucky, like 30. And then they'll start to taper off, and then usually somebody will come in there with jokes or memes, and then I get distracted by the good times.
What's this literally? No vibration or beep, okay. Yeah, they got these fancy pagers here. We're number 16, so we're waiting for it to page and beep us when our food's ready. So.
Yeah.
But it's just flashing a red light. I've just been doing it the whole time. You know, I also run away from my topic whenever I see my Uncle Perry jump in, because I'm like, oh, God, this thing's going to go south really quick.
I do that sometimes with...
Perry's probably listening, so I get to say that.
Sometimes I'll see my last name pop up with somebody else's first name, and I'll be like, uh-oh, here we go. Here it goes. And
there's another Navarre in this conversation.
Yeah,
why I better
know
just
where
run?
It's going to go from there.
Well, see, there's this lady. It was I want to say it was a... Oh, there's our food. Here, I'll
go
get food.
All right. Well, I'm going to wrap this recording up. That way you guys don't have to listen to me smacking. But like I said, we're here at the Dairy Lou in Ada. And we got a couple of double cheeseburgers coming and some tots, and I think Josh got him a Dr. Pepper. I'm just drinking on a Gatorade. It's just a fun moving day. But it's beautiful weather in Oklahoma, and we just wanted to check in with you guys. I hope you guys are having a beautiful day wherever you are. Please feel free to email us with any of your questions or comments or anything you'd like to hear us discuss. And if it's something that we have a little bit of knowledge in or can maybe help you spread your message, then let us know, and we'd be happy to help. Miigwech for tuning in to us. Have a great day. Manowabin, everybody. This is Sam. I'm going to be recording some segments this morning down in my wood shop. Josh had asked me if I would record a walkthrough for the way that I make cedar boxes, and I can try. It's mostly a lot of cutting and sanding. But first, I just thought I'd give a little background and why I do this. My great-grandfather, Rob Navarre, he had an allotment up in Hera, what is now Hera, Oklahoma. He actually sold part of his allotment to a guy named Frank Hera, who built the town there. And so he kind of financed, I guess, the building of the town. My great-grandfather actually did the building. He was a carpenter. And my family has a long history, the Navarre family, and on my mom's side, the Jordan family, they have a long history of being in carpentry and woodwork. And so, in some ways, it just comes naturally to me to kind of do some of this work, but I wasn't always led that way. I was more of a, I guess, studious person. Stayed in school and did things like that. And, of course, looking back, I wish I would have had a lot more hands-on than in class time. But, you know, you do what you do and you get what you get. And so this is a pretty good thing to get from my ancestors, this ability. But my great-grandfather there, Rob, in Hera, he built most of the homes there in his life, and then his son, who was also a Robert Navarre, but they called him Bob, my grandpa Bob, he also built a lot of houses in his life. That's mostly what he did. He was a contractor and a foreman. He worked all over from Oklahoma City, all over Hera, and up in that area, building houses. And so my dad also did a lot of that work. My dad ended up going to the Army out of high school. And so then when he got back, he worked at my grandpa's gas station. And then he got a job in the technology industry, in the phone industry. And one of the things that he was able to do was this piece of property that he purchased. Had an old dairy barn on it where they used to raise, I guess it was cows, you know, if it was dairy. But anyway, by the time we got it, we had it and we had pigs in it, this old dairy barn. And it had pigs in one side and old lawnmower parts in the other side. And my brother and I, we spent a lot of good times down in this dairy barn. It's just an old, brick building, and we would spend all kinds of times down here. One of the most memorable times was, this is pretty stupid, but was a time that we found an old piece of manure that was so hard that every time we'd hit it with a baseball bat, it would make our arms, vibrate so hard. Basically, it put us in a lot of pain, and we just thought that was fun. And so, that was a long time ago. At some point, my dad, I guess about the time that he retired from the phone company, he built onto that dairy barn. And, of course, we cleaned it all out. And now he has his wood shop in here. And so, when I come down here, he built this wood shop all by himself. And it's twice as big as the dairy barn. But when I think of everything that he was able to do,
I couldn't do this. And so I'm just impressed. But whenever I found myself without a job, I came back here to my parents' property and I thought a long time, what could I do that would actually contribute to things? And one thing that I noticed was that the Native Nation I'm enrolled with got an eagle aviary. And a lot of the people wanted eagle feathers. It was a rehabilitative aviary. And so when they wanted eagle feathers, they didn't have anywhere to put them once they got them home. And so I started making cedar boxes. Because if you keep your eagle feathers in a cedar box, that will keep most of the bugs off of it. The cedar does have a cedar weevil. But they don't eat feathers, they eat cedar. And so occasionally I'll find one in the wood and I'll hollow him out of there, get him out of there. But anyway, that's kind of the background of how this got started. I was just trying to help people take care of their eagle feathers and I was lucky enough to have a dad who had a dad who had a dad and a mom who had a dad. That were all highly involved in woodworking and woodwork. So that's the background.
Sam, that was fascinating. That's pretty cool. So now that you've told us your whole walkthrough, why have you started making boxes? I mean, what's the journey? I mean, what's the artistic purpose for you? I mean, you kind of went over it, but I feel like there's something else, you know.
Well, I guess the journey with the cedar boxes began, I don't know, maybe back around 2006 or 7, whenever I was working at the Pottawatomie Heritage Museum over in Shawnee. Their gift shop found out that my dad did woodwork. And so I would start getting him to make boxes every now and then. And eventually he started selling them out of that gift shop. But long before that, on his side of the family, the men have been woodworkers. His dad is Bob Navarre, and he lived up in Hara. And he built a lot of the houses in Hara and Midwest City. All kinds of that growing up. My dad grew up with it. My grandfather was he was like a foreman. And, of course, he knew all the ins and outs because his dad, my great-grandfather, my dad's grandpa, his name was Robert Navarre. We got a lot of Robert Navarres in my family. And he had the allotment there. He sold part of his allotment to Frank Hara in Hara, Oklahoma. And Frank Hare was kind of like the financier, I guess. And so my great-grandfather built most of the homes that are in Hara and by the time that he passed. And so it's just kind of come down. Before that, if you go back to, you can go all the way back to Pierre Navarre. Pierre Navarre built a cabin that's still in Leeper Park, Michigan. It's not in Leeper Park, Michigan. It's in Leeper Park, Indiana. It's in South Bend. But he built a cabin, and I went up there and I saw it. And it's, of course, it's a big thing for my family, but one of the historical preservation guy there in South Bend, Indiana, he was showing it to us because it's kind of one of their treasures. And he showed this part of the way that the logs were cut, the way that they notched the logs for this cabin. It had never been seen before in cabin making, and so they say that it prevents slippage, it locks them into place. So it goes back a long time as far as this knowledge of woodwork on my dad's line, and as far as on my mom's side of the family, my mom's dad was also a great woodworker. And so I kind of had it coming at me from both sides. But for me, it didn't start until, I don't know, maybe about 2014. I found myself on my own and nothing to do, and I was just looking for a way to contribute. And because our band of Pottawatomie has an eagle aviary, and a lot of the folks there were getting an eagle feather here, an eagle feather there, and they needed somewhere to put them. And since cedar boxes keep your keep bugs away, I figured, well, that's some place that I could contribute. And so I started making cedar boxes. And so I guess I've been doing it for about 7 years. I made a lot there in the first year. And after that, we had a windstorm come through and it knocked out the power to our building. And so I think it was a couple years before we were able to get the limbs trimmed away from the building enough to get electricity back on down there. And so I've just kind of been working my way to get back to it, and I just kind of started up again. And it's pretty nice. I went down there to record some things the other day, and one of the things that I had recorded was the machines, so you know what they sound like. And I screwed up one of them, so I'm back out of commission. So that's where I'm at now. I guess just having to wish and hope and pray up some money for some pieces.
Sam, where do you get these materials from? Do you get them from the Home Depot, the Walmart, the Amazon, the eBay? Where do you get, or do you get Coke cans down the creek bed and just take your saw out there and just start hacking down a tree? What do you do, man? What do you do? Or I guess, you know, I probably can guess what you do. Because I've been with you, and we went to Home Depot. But that was just for some hinges. So where do you get your stuff from?
So as for the cedar box making, one thing that I've always been is way too detailed. I'm one of those people that has a hard time turning in their homework. And so I do put a lot of detail and thought into just about everything that I do. I found that if I don't, it comes back pretty horribly on me most times. And so a lot of times with this cedar, the first thing that I have to do is pick it out. I have to go, and usually I find slabbed cedar that's come off of a sawmill. A lot of the stuff that I was getting the first time, I think it came from Western Arkansas. And some of this stuff that I'm getting now, it actually comes from Oklahoma. But typically the cedar that I use, it's all Eastern red cedar, and it comes from around here.
Sam, what's the, now that we know about why you got on this journey in a sense, can you tell us the process? Like, do you smudge or anything like that before you start the box, or you just go out there and get the old hacksaw and cut down a tree? How do you actually do this, do your fine art?
No, I don't actually go down and cut down the tree. I get Eastern cedar lumber, but it's slabbed. So I get it usually from either a mill, somebody that mills it. They cut the trees down, and a lot of the stuff I was using a few years ago came from Arkansas. It was cut down in Arkansas, but some of the stuff I've got now, it came from Eastern Oklahoma. And somewhere, maybe some central Oklahoma too. I'm more of a local guy, but I've noticed there's more on the market. And so whenever I get it, I won't talk all the business end of it, but once I get it, it's already in a slab. But that has rough edge on it, and so then I take it and I cut that off. And then it's just a process of cutting and cutting and cutting until you get it cut down small enough that you can use. And a lot of cutting and a lot of gluing. It's hard. It's a hard process to explain. Basically, because you're taking fairly raw material and cutting it down, surfacing it, planing it, and joining it. And then it's usually just clamps after that. Anybody else that's ever done this knows that you can't do a good job unless you have clamps. And so all the tools are, they're important to me, but I'm not doing it with a hacksaw either. I do use electricity. Matter of fact, the table saw that we're using down there is my grandfather's, my dad's dad's. And so this is, it's an old table saw. It doesn't have any safety features, and so it's kind of open, but you can do more of hands-on with it than these new ones. But no, the tools that you need are the tools that you need are a good saw. You need a good saw, and a joiner doesn't hurt. You don't have to have a joiner. You can do it all with a table saw. You have to be really good, and so sometimes I use a planer. Well, I use a planer every time, but that's what I broke. And then other than that, it's just a matter of matching it up and measuring. But sorry, I don't know how to make it sound exciting. Pretty much that's it. I do a lot of cutting and then measuring and cutting down to size. If somebody has anything specific that they want me to look for, sometimes I will set material back. Sometimes people want an all-white box, and that's really hard to accomplish because there's not a lot of white on Eastern cedar, and so I'll set that back. Or if somebody wants something with a lot of knots, that's another hard one to get because they're not always knots, but you know. That's why I try to make a few different ones whenever I do. That way, people, whatever they prefer, I might have it. I made a little white box a few weeks ago, and I figured that would be the first one to go out, and it's the only one I got left. You never know what people are going to want.
And last, Sam, how does someone go about purchasing one of these boxes? I've seen that you have some raffles going on and such. Is there any other way? Can I just, like, send you a message and say, Sam, I want a box. I mean, that's what I did, but it's been years. But I do really enjoy its fine craftsmanship, I tell you that.
Well, thank you, Josh. I appreciate you saying it's fine craftsmanship. One of the, it's an honor to be able to make things that people that I respect and appreciate, they enjoy my work or they get some use out of it. I had a realization the other day that, you know, I may not be a lot of things, but at least the things that I produce, the people I respect, they buy them for their moms or their sisters or their wives or whatever. You know, it's kind of a humbling thing to think that people purchase it for other people that they love. And I mainly got into making them so that eagle feathers would be protected. I was just kind of doing it in that mold. And I do whenever I make a few, I'll make a few extra, and then I'll try to sell those. I have a Facebook page that I don't always interact with well. But it's called Native Cedar Boxes. The best way is probably to get in touch with me through Facebook. If you can comment on something I've already said or anything like that, just get my attention. And then if I have the material, I'll work with the person until it gets done. You never know what sizes people are going to want or how they're going to want it. And so I try to wait until they do it that way. But yeah, that's pretty much box making. It's not a booming industry or anything, and I'd like to get to where I could have a helper or something. You know, I think we could get several more churned out like that, but right now it's just kind of slow going. I did have a young lady, another member of my band of Pottawatomie. She came out a few summers ago, and I showed her how to make these boxes. Miss Maddie Teal. And she was really good at it, and she went on and she got her some equipment so that she could make boxes at her house, and I was really honored by that too, you know, it's just something that one day will be passed on, and be nice to have somebody to pass it on to.
Mick Wedge for listening, guys. We appreciate it. Hope you enjoyed the journey of Sam's cedar boxes today. I definitely sure did. We'll see y'all next week. Bama P. And if you want to be a supporter, Sam likes to drink Coca-Cola and smoke carnivals. All right. Until next time.